Hi, everybody. This is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. This week, I'm with Martin. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm better than clearly Gavin is because I believe he's got the sore throat for yet another week.
I can't believe it. Poor man. He's got some kind of virus, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's always something wrong with him. So instead of having him with us this week, we have a special guest again, and we're joined by Chris Miller. Hi, Chris.
Hello, everybody. Are we sure Gavin's got a sore throat? I heard perhaps he might have got regular jobitis.
I think there might be some of that as well. So we're waiting for him to come back and confirm when he can join us. So for the meantime, it is just Martin and I and you. And we thought we would revisit a conversation we had about 12 months ago where we did a great review, or rather you did a great review and we just listened, but we did a great review of the all-flash market. And it seemed like a good opportunity to go back and look at that and revisit it in the sense that a lot of things have changed. A lot of vendors are either up or down. You know, we've seen some come back to the market. We've seen some suddenly emboldened. We've seen some go away. And just see how it's changed over that time. So that's what this week's podcast is about, a review and an update of the old flash market. So why don't I just give us a little summary of some things that have happened, and then I'll let you dive in, Chris, and you can start giving us your opinions.
Okie dokie.
So first of all, since last time, Violin are back. Wow. So they sort of died. They went away. They've come back. New CEO. I would imagine a new team. We'll probably get to talk about them at some stage, but they're back. IBM and NetApp seem to have picked up their game since last time, and their all-flash chops are amazing. You know, IBM, who knows where IBM ever managed to find success from, but I guess we'll talk about that as well. And I guess the other thing is to look at some of the other vendors and say, who's new, who's gone? DSSD, I think, has gone since we were here last time, so there's an awful lot to talk about. On that note, Chris, why don't you just give us a bit of a summary and give us your opinion about where we are?
Okay, I'd like to start giving out a summary by giving some market share numbers for the fourth 2017 quarter, which came from IDC. So this is all flash array market. Dell EMC, 29.2%. NetApp, 18%. HPE, 13.3%. That's surprisingly high to me. Pure Storage, 12.9%. Not quite as high as I thought it might be. IBM, 11.9%, and others, 14.8%. So that's the Giles, the Huawei's, the Caminarios, Hitachi Vantara, Violin, and so on. And what seems to have happened is that Pure has become an incumbent, good going Pure. But NetApp and HPE have not lied down and died at all, and nor has IBM. It seems to me that NetApp, HPE, and IBM have got a new lease of life in all-flash arrays by selling to their installed base. And they've all got good enough all-flash arrays, to say the least, to reassure their install base that they don't need to either go to another vendor or go to a startup to get all-flash array performance and reliability. So I think we're now looking at a quite stable all-flash array market, with Dell EMC, NetApp, HPE, Pure, and IBM being the mainstream vendors who've more or less got it sewn up, with only just roughly 15% left for everybody else. And the sort of shares that the other people have are vanishingly small. If we look at Tintri, for instance, and its revenues for the fourth quarter of 2017, then it looks like it's got less than 1.5% of the all-flash array market. How much Caminario has got? Probably be a lot more, maybe 5%, I don't know. But all these people outside the mainstream now have a very high mountain to climb. And if there's going to be a downturn in the all-flash array market at some stage, then they're going to be terribly exposed. And I can't really see them being acquired. Does that accord with what you're seeing, Martin?
It is pretty much. I mean, IBM obviously have a good enough product. I think what's interesting with the companies you listed is, well, there seems to be a big enterprise array vendor who's dropped out of the picture to a certain extent. HDS, Hitachi Vantara. That's very interesting, because that's a fairly rapid fallout. And if you're not playing in the all-flash market, you've got an interesting problem if you want to play in that enterprise space. And Pure getting as big as it is, interesting. But everybody seems to be bunched around somewhere between 10 and 16%, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, 10 and 18%.
10 and 18%. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Nobody dominating.
No. Dell EMC perhaps have got the large, are dominating to an extent with about 30%, but then they have got a large product line.
I was going to say, they've got so many products, yeah.
Yeah, the SC, the VMAX, Unity, Extreme.io, and an all-flash array Isilon as well. Another thing that's happened, it seems to be happening to me, is that everybody's going NVMe. Drives certainly, and an NVMe fabric plan in the background. So IBM's made an announcement about that. NetApp saying it's got an NVMe over fabric's future. And the startups like E8, Accelero, and Aperion have all got NVMe over fabric's pushing their boat as well. So that seems to be a new given that's coming our way.
Okay, Chris, I just want to ask one question going back to those numbers. If we looked at the general IDC storage numbers, I think the other category tends to be a lot bigger than the other in all flash, from what I remember.
You're right.
Now, I wonder if that's indicative of the dominance that some of the companies have had in building their flash portfolios and getting market share, that the others, the smaller ones, just simply haven't been able to get a grasp into this market.
Well, it could be that the main people buying all flash arrays, obviously is, our customers are the mainstream suppliers. What am I saying here? They've got the market locked up. It's their channel that does it, doesn't it? They've got the market covered. They've got good enough products. So their installed base are buying the products, and that's that. And there's no leeway now for the startups and the people who started up some time ago but haven't actually made it to the mainstream to actually break into the mainstream anymore. They're locked out.
So let's park that for a second, because in some respects we want to come back and talk about some of those other vendors that you already mentioned earlier. And let's assume for the moment that the NVMe over fabrics part of the market is really so new and nascent that we're not expecting to see many people in that yet. And that's why those vendors haven't really sort of grown. But it sounds to me like if you wanted to try and come to the market with an all-flash array, you're really going to struggle to even get a look in these days.
That I think is true. Take a company like Vexata, which has just started with an all-singing, all-dancing, high-performance NVMe all-flash array. I think it's going to find it very, very hard to make traction now, unless it's got something like a 10-to-1 performance advantage over other people. But with E8, Accelero, Apeiron, Pavilion Data Systems, and others already in that startup ring offering higher performance, I think people like Vexata are just going to be pushing to try and grab a share of a very small cake outside the mainstream.
I think you're right, Chris. I think when you talk about B2B's players, you're talking about a fairly small niche market. It's a very high-performance market. What we're seeing is flash become mainstream, with the exception of HDS. Customers are now just buying from their old suppliers. They don't have to change their processes. Mm. They don't have to change their procurement activities. You just stick with what you've got. So I think it's going to be very hard for anybody to ship a general purpose array into that space. It's a fairly mature space already. Customers don't want to change. So unless you've got a workload which requires something different, more performance, maybe more scale out, you probably can't see any reason to go and talk to one of these new players, because they won't be cheaper. Because they just don't have the economics of scale to be cheaper.
Yes, I agree. One thing that's happened over the past three years, not the last year, is IDC numbers of all flash arrays show that Dell EMC have actually lost comparative market share over those 3 years. And that hasn't enabled the startups to make hay while the EMC sun has not shone quite brightly. It's enabled IBM and NetApp and HP to pick their game up, I think. So I don't see Dell EMC's sort of slight decline as anything serious to worry about. And it's not giving a big opportunity to the Cambinario, Tintri's, E8s and so forth.
I think Pure went very aggressively after the EMC space as well. So I think you've seen some of the decline is because Pure have been so aggressively marketing against EMC. Something which I thought was a bit of an odd thing. When Pure were going large against EMC, I thought it might have been more sensible to go against
NetApp or IBM.
Yeah, NetApp on that IBM, because they were certainly probably the people with the biggest risk. But Pure decided to go big, and it seems to have worked very nicely for them.
Well, they went against the traditional arrays, didn't they? So they went against the spinning disk arrays or the hybrid arrays or whatever. They didn't go after the all-flash side of things, particularly not in the first day. So in some respects, they picked their battles, which was probably quite a sensible thing to do in that part of the market.
Yeah, they've moved into the general purpose market. They've done a very good job of it. So it'd be interesting. So the next thing has to be NVMe over fabric. So what are you seeing there, Chris?
Cambinario is making a determined move into NVMe over fabrics. E8 and Accelero are there already. NetApp saying it's doing an NVMe over fabrics link with Plex Store and accessing servers to give it a little bit of an extra edge. IBM says it's supporting NVMe over fabrics for its Flash System 900 arrays. It's almost looking like a done deal. You have to support NVMe over fabrics. But there's a problem looming in that if you're a server and you're accessing a remote NVMe over fabrics array, then you're not going through that array's data controller. You're going direct to the drives. It is a remote direct memory access to the drives. So what added value does the controller and its software provide in those circumstances? And unless there's some way for the array controller software to somehow transfer into the servers, do a Datrium with a controller distributed amongst the servers, or else provide some kind of control path functionality while the data path between the accessing server and the NVMe drives exists, then I think they have a problem. And I don't see how it can be solved at the moment.
So you've mentioned a couple of things there, and I think, well, let's just go back over and try and summarize it, because there's a lot of stuff that we just sort of merged together in one group. And I think, first of all, there's that discussion about the mature side of the all-flash market. I think we know where that's headed, which is great. We're starting to see NVMe becoming a technology which vendors want to put into their existing platforms, and we've seen some of that already, as in the systems that are NVMe ready, which imply all that's happening is the back end's getting an NVMe device. And then there's that third stage, which is the different architecture, which says NVMe over fabrics to talk from a client to maybe a disk shelf with some metadata on a certain metadata server sitting at the side or whatever. And the first two are fairly easy to see how they'll develop, although I don't think we'll see NVMe being fully utilized in the second model. But that third one over fabrics, where we separate the two components, that one is a more interesting implementation. And it sounds to me like that might be a target of where the vendors see the future being in order to get the really, really high performance, the next tier zero performance.
I came across a company, UK media special effects company, called Pixit Media. They traditionally have used Spectrum Scale as their file system management, with a E-series all-flash array providing the block storage behind Spectrum Scale. Now they're going to be using E8 Dell PowerEdge servers, providing an NVMe over fabrics accessed mesh of servers, but they carry on using Spectrum Scale. All the metadata and control path activity goes through Spectrum Scale, while the accessing client workstations go direct to the E8 NV mesh drives with a separate data path. So I found that surprising. I thought NVMe arrays would simply blow away old-fashioned disk-based, massively parallel file systems like GPFS, but far from it. They're going to provide a new lease of life to it, because such things are great at having the metadata control.
Well, we've heard the same similar story from Accelero in the past. They've talked about Spectrum Scale or GPFS over their arrays, I believe, in the past. So you're right. So for massively scale out, where you're going to want a global namespace across all your systems, allows your file access. Yeah, it could be a new lease of life for certainly things like Spectrum Scale. Maybe, you never know, Store Next. But I really think GPFS, Spectrum Scale, its time might have come. It's very simple to manage now. It's a lot easier. I know the guys from Pixit IT Media. I've known them for a long time. They have a long history of GPFS. They're smart guys, but he is a bit of a small niche player at the moment.
It's true. Also, I just made a mess. It was Accelero and Pixit Media, not E8. Mea culpa.
That's fine. I'm sure nobody will notice. So just one other thing there. I think let's just take that to its logical conclusion, actually, because there's an interesting philosophical discussion around what you just said there, Chris, where everything we normally talk about is all flash and is typically block connected. So all of the products we've talked about generally, like Extreme IO to VMAX to Pure, everything tends to be block connected. Now, the Accelero technology and the E8 technology, both of which offer block devices, then can get that file system layered on top of them. So I wonder whether we're seeing, in effect, a new category of product here where you combine a block-based storage solution, which is scale out, with a scale out file system to produce something which is better than we would have got if we just relied on, you know, the dual controller type flash architecture.
I'm getting all eager to jump in here, because there's a file system starter called Weka IO, which has a parallel access file system built for NVMe flash. And it's just seized a spec SFS 2014 software build benchmark lead. A Spectrum Scale had a 600 score, 600 software builds on that benchmark. Weka IO with NVMe flash arrays has just achieved 1,200 software builds on that benchmark. So again, we've got a file system providing the metadata and so forth, and direct access to a block array underneath for the data path. And the performance is exquisitely high, and the file system is the thing that enables it, without the applications running on the servers to actually have to change. They just access files as before. Whereas if the applications on the servers are accessing a shared block array and leaving all the metadata handling and so forth to the block array's dual controller software and how that moves to NVMe over fabrics, that's the problem for the array providers. I cannot see how that's going to get sorted.
It's funny enough, I was looking at Wecker.io last week. Another interesting company. They've got a very interesting go-to-market with both an on-premises, and they're also pitching themselves in AWS to allow them to use the NVMe or SSD-based AWS resources. They claim they handle small files much, much better than Spectrum Scale. So that has some very important moves for analytics. I have a feeling that Wecker themselves are really aiming at that analytics workload where you're dealing with quite small files and you want to be able to process them extremely quickly. We're moving to AWS. I think it's a smart one. I'll be really interested to see how that goes. It will come down to a pricing model yet again, I suspect.
Martin, you just picked out one very, very important point, dealing with small files. So once you start stepping into that marketplace, you're now not just competing against the all flash vendors, you're competing against the all flash vendors and also the history and the knowledge that's gone into the scale out file system. So you have to be able to be both of those guys at the same time.
Yeah, if you actually look at one of our big investors is Qualcomm Ventures. I can certainly see this is going to have a major use in the space they tend to play in with the telcos and also the chip market they're involved in. Whether it's going to be a general purpose, I can't see it being a general purpose device at the moment. Yet again, it's also from a team who were involved in XIV. So who knows, we might see an acquisition in the future of them by IBM yet again.
If I could jump in, I think that Wecker.io is probably best seen as a competitor to Cumulo, Isilon, Panasus, and Spectrum Scale. In other words, it's a file system competitor, a parallel access file system competitor as well. So they'll need to have partnerships with hardware OEMs to sell their kit. And HPE is going to be reselling their software on Apollo, on its HPC computers. I've come across a Toshiba who introduced three new data center SSDs, SATA, and two PCIe NVMe ones, 2.5-inch and M.2 formats. The other foot is going to drop in a couple of days when they announce something called Kumo Scale, which has come from their acquisition of OCF, which had an R&D center in Israel. And that R&D center has produced software to function as the NVMe target front-end software for an NVMe JBOF, which of course will be filled with these data center SSDs. And Toshiba will then hopefully go to market with OEMs who provide some kind of front end for this thing.
I don't think I've even heard of this.
No, it's new. It's coming out tomorrow.
Well, I'm just amazed that I haven't heard anything sort of background noise about it or anything like that.
They've kept it very well hidden. Toshiba had a FlashBlade type competitor called FlashMatrix, which also is basically an SSD JBOF, which they've positioned as something like Tegile's IntelliFlash, some big box of SSDs waiting there for some big data analytic to come along and use it. And Flash Matrix doesn't seem to have done anything much at all. Kumo Scale might do something a lot better.
Interesting. We'll have to dig some information out on that one and have another look at it. I can't give any comment because I don't know anything about it at all. It's amazing.
Two data center SSDs which have performance in this Toshiba lineup are the PCIe NVMe ones, one 2.5-inch and another one in M.2 format. And to class an M.2 format drive as a data center SSD seems a little bit weird for me. I can see a server having bunches of these things as direct attached access flash, but a JBOF, a storage array full of M.2 drives, seems a little bit odd. You'd need so many of them, lots of connectors, lots of power connections, cooling problems with the airflow and so forth. So I'm curious as to how that one's going to play out.
Right, so now I understand the background, because I remember seeing you talk about that on Twitter, Chris, asking about could you build an array from M.2 devices. Now I understand the background to that question. Okay, but I think you're right, that could be particularly tricky, and I guess that goes back to a number of vendors, IntelliFlash being one, Violin being another, that used effectively little memory blades, if you want to call them that, which were PCIe connected to build their storage arrays, and you're sort of doing the same with M.2. You're going back to a scenario where you can't hot swap, I guess. You've got to somehow work out how to stack them. And that seems to go counterintuitive towards the direction we're seeing with things like the ruler format and whatever the Samsung one's called, next generation something or other format or whatever, SSF, next generation SFF, I think it's called. So that seems to go counter towards that. So I would imagine that seems like an unlikely way to go forward.
I was curious. Toshiba could have chosen to go with Intel's ruler format or with Samsung's mini ruler format, but both of them are big rivals to Toshiba. Neither of those two formats are industry standard. So I think Toshiba got the decision to making its own ruler type format and just went with either standard 2.5 inch or M.2.
Sorry, I've just been reading about Flash Matrix and it completely passed me by. As far as I can see, it's some kind of HCI device. It's based around Intel Atom processors, 192 Intel Atom CPU cores, 48 terabytes of flash. Yeah, it seems to be basically an analytics engine, but it's Red Hat, Dasho, and Docker, also aimed at containers. So yet again, we've got to be trendy and fashionable and make sure we've got something to do with containers and Docker involved. But it looks like some kind of HCI.
You haven't said Kubernetes there, Martin. You need to get that in there somewhere.
I don't have to get Kubernetes in. It's a given these days. Everything's Kubernetes.
Okay, so that all seems really interesting. I think it sounds like there's a lot more research we need to go and do from our perspective. Obviously, you've done it, Chris, and I'm sure we'll see the articles as a result. But there's a lot more that we need to go and do and have a look at that. Now, you've mentioned, obviously, that being one vendor that probably wasn't on our radar. What about your opinion on the Chinese market? Where do you think that's going to come? Because having talked to Jim Handy a few months ago, he talked about the huge amount of investment that was going into flash and memory from the component side. I wonder whether we're likely to see Huawei or other vendors like that coming into this market.
I'm absolutely convinced we are. Huawei's in the all-flash array market already with Ocean Store Dorado products. And one of Huawei's strengths is its ability to make semiconductor components between servers and drives. I think they've got enormous semiconductor expertise, and I'd expect to see lots of proprietary technology from Huawei in the flash drive area. The big limitation Huawei's got inside the USA is that the US government hates them, and they'll find it extremely difficult to sell storage arrays inside the USA. Probably trying to do it on the back of selling telco gear, but even that is having problems in the USA. So I think for US-centric suppliers, Huawei is to an extent a dark horse whom they run into overseas and don't quite know how to deal with.
That one's a tricky one, isn't it? Because it's not as if they can partner with anybody or do anything else, because if the underlying technology is still Huawei, they're still going to come up against that problem.
There's another aspect to China and flash in that I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, but Tsinghua Unigroup is likely to do a licensing deal with Intel and have Intel supply 3D NAND wafers to it, which should be either 64 or 96 layer 3D NAND. And this would give Tsinghua Unigroup an opportunity to get up to speed with 3D NAND flash layering and eventually be able to produce its own. And then with Inspur and Huawei and other Chinese server vendors and storage vendors, I think China's going to emerge in the next 5 years or so as a substantial flash storage vendor, or flash storage skilled country, rather.
Now, let's just think about that and what that means, because our whole conversation today was to talk about all flash and all flash as an update in terms of where we see the products going. And it sounds like in our first piece of the conversation, we highlighted that the incumbents are pretty solid about that, and all flash is becoming a pretty much a standard product from an array perspective. Now, looking at the overall market, the market for arrays or appliances seems pretty flat, and it's the servers and storage that seem to be increasing. And then we moved on to talk about NVMe over fabrics and how that might be a future for things. And then you just mentioned at least one vendor that, and Martin mentioned it obviously, that seems to be an HCI type solution with all flash. And it makes me wonder whether that as we go forward, there's really going to be enough separation in the future for us to be able to say that there's a dedicated all flash storage array market and we should actually take notice of it.
I don't think there is. Well, if there is, it will become more and more niche. It'll become a smaller and smaller part of the actual amount of flash which is shipped. So I think that general purpose AFA certainly is, it will just replace the general purpose arrays. So I'm not sure there is a particular space, or it's not that important to the market. It's the disaggregated storage which is going to be more interesting as we go forward.
Disaggregated storage as in hyper-converged infrastructure?
Not necessarily. Things like the E8, the Acceleros, I think they're more interesting than the actual big arrays.
I'm looking towards the hyper-converged infrastructure market beginning to share pooled NVMe flash storage, with each of the servers in the hyperconverged infrastructure seeing its own DAS-like bit of the shared external storage array, almost like a Datrium type scheme. And I could see such HCI use of Flash becoming more important and taking share away from the traditional shared storage, external shared storage all flash arrays. Does that chime well with you?
I don't think it takes anything away. I just think it's a growing market. I think we're talking about growth markets versus mature markets. Mm. I think the AFA is probably, strangely enough, is rapidly matured. It's a mature market, and all it is doing is displacing the traditional arrays. Whereas what we're going to see is we're going to see a growth market, and that's in the technologies you're talking about there, Chris. So there's still lots of money to be made in your traditional market, but there's more money to be made in the other markets. Depends how greedy these companies become.
Do you see that the analytics side, the AI machine learning side of flash storage growing in importance?
Maybe. I'll qualify this. I think there's an interesting problem for machine learning and AI for all the vendors, with a few exceptions. Basically, because I can see the public cloud AI implementations becoming much, much bigger and important. So whether they're going to find any space when they're competing with Amazon, Microsoft and Google, I think it's going to be a fairly small market. Because if you're going to do AI or machine learning, you're probably going to go and use one of the big public cloud. Well, that's what I feel. That's what I would do. I don't think there's enough smart people in the world to make it sense for you to do it yourself.
That, if that's the case, then Pure Storage's FlashBlade product as an on-premises AI tool won't be very successful.
It may be successful enough for them. You still may have situations where you have an edge cache or you want to do something very local. But it's not going to be massive. It's not going to account for 20-30% of the flash market. I really do feel quite strongly that will sit in the public cloud.
So the hyperscalers certainly will not buy FlashBlade. It's all proprietary, it's expensive, and you're locked into Pure. They'll build their own.
I think that's what we're seeing. I think if you probably actually look at where most of the flash in the world is probably sitting, it's going to be sitting in some data centers owned by the hyperscalers.
It's certainly a direction, isn't it? It's certainly a direction that says the chances are, if you need to do huge levels of analytics, there's going to be a cutoff that says up until you're at a certain scale, it'll be better to go with the public cloud because they'll have the analytics tools, they'll have the knowledge, the ability, the algorithms and all the rest of it. You might get big enough, a bit like Dropbox has just done by coming back on-prem. You might get big enough to say, I can justify having my own equipment, at which point you could bring it back on-prem. And the question is that really going to happen? And what size do you have to be to make that actually work? And you might have to be huge to make that really work. And there might be very few people who actually can look at that and make that work.
I think you're going to have to be absolutely huge, certainly for the analytics side of things. But basically, if you just look at the scale and you look at the spread of the big hyperscalers and their data centers. So if you're going to want to do machine learning or analytics globally, you've got, say, a lot of devices out there. You're just not going to be able to build data centers close to them. So you're going to want those as close as possible. So the data's coming in, you're doing analytics on it, and a small amount's coming out is almost a perfect use case for public cloud. The only thing is you might be a bit scared about security. The rest of apps, not really a problem. Public cloud makes perfect sense. Dropbox is slightly different, I would say. They're just storing masses of data and probably quite large files. It may make sense for them. Because they're not worried so much about locality. If you're worried about locality, you're probably better off with Google and Amazon and Microsoft. So just build data centers everywhere.
You don't think there's scope for new technology in the way one could accelerate CPUs with GPUs and FPGAs and so forth? Xilinx or Altera coming out with something that makes on-premises machine learning faster. So you could stick with a commodity approach on-premises for the servers and the storage, use these accelerators and get something that's as cost-effective as using the public cloud.
You might. I'm not seeing it at the moment. I'm not seeing the massive advantage of doing it yourself with somebody else's proprietary technology.
That sounds like that could be a discussion, an entire discussion in its own right.
Very much so. I think it's an interesting discussion. It'd be interesting to almost get a cloud player and somebody who feels like you should do it locally and let them fight it out.
One supplier that's in the all-flash arrays that did exist before was Tegile. It's been bought by Western Digital and not a lot is happening. And I think something's going to happen. I think Western Digital and Tegile are going to have a big announcement. Nothing's been said about this. It just seems to me that you don't spend tens of millions of dollars buying a company and then do nothing with it. Do you have any thoughts about this?
Well, you do spend tens of millions of pounds on a company and do nothing with it. AMC have done that a number of times. Yeah, I've seen quite a lot of activity from Western Digital, a lot of quiet PR activity. They seem to be gearing up for something. I think you're right. Just reading the signs, reading the smoke signals, they're going to announce something.
Rumor mill. There you go. If it happens, we said it first. But I don't know. But I can't say that I actually know that anything's going to happen. So no, I mean, I can just say rumor mill and, you know, hope that we're right at the end of the day. So if we're going to talk about rumors, we should talk about Cisco acquiring Pure in that all-flash market, because Cisco doesn't have an all-flash product anymore. What do we think? Is that a real likelihood that somebody like Cisco would come along and decide to buy Pure up, or would Cisco buy somebody else in this market?
One thing that would happen, I think, if Cisco spent $10 billion plus buying Pure, would be that the relationship with Dell EMC would fall apart completely. I don't see how it could withstand the shock.
Yeah, you're probably right, but do they care? I mean, Cisco have to do something in that space to make their hyperconverged products look sensible, or to actually produce a sensible hyperconverged product. Pure seems that somebody they should buy or could buy, similar grounds. They have a product which works, so at least they have that advantage over Cisco's previous acquisition. I think it would make a certain amount of sense.
Do we think it needs to be Pure? Could it be anybody else? Could it be, for sake of argument, could it be one of these disaggregated people, or could it be somebody like Caminaria? Why does it have to be somebody as big as Pure? You know, do they need to buy business, or are they buying technology?
May I make a suggestion here that Caminaria, Tintri, E8, Accelero, they've got question marks over their future. And they'd certainly be, from Cisco's point of view, cheap to buy, but they'd also be questionable buys. If they bought Pure, then it's a lot of money, but it's a known quantity. It has an accept. It has a success. It's an incumbent in its own right at the moment. And Cisco could take it and run and pump out Pure products through its channel. It would be a big uphill struggle for Cisco if it took on a Tintri or an E8 or a Caminario. I don't know whether my reading of that is correct, whether my sense of Cisco's priorities is right as well. It has been burnt in the past with Whiptail, so perhaps it would want to go for a surefire bet rather than another chancy startup it has to push.
I agree. I actually think buying Pure, they can drop it in, they can rebrand it and probably drop it into the UCS and produce an equivalent of a V block, P block, or wherever they want to call it. I think they can probably do it very, very quickly with a Pure acquisition. Whereas I think any of the others, they would struggle unless they go mad and buy NetApp. That's the other thing they could go and buy, and they could drop that in very easily for them. One of the disaggregated, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't seem to fit with what Cisco are.
I'm thinking back to try and remember the first time I heard somebody say Cisco by NetApp. I think I was still wearing short trousers. That's been one of those things that's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it keeps coming back up again. I mean, it was a thought that they would have bought SolidFire, and they didn't. It'd be an expensive way of acquiring SolidFire to buy NetApp to get SolidFire, but who knows? Who knows where Cisco's investments are going to go?
Well, I think we're just about out of time there. We've talked about a million and one things. That was a really interesting roundup. Thanks for joining us again, Chris, and keeping us up to date on that. You've pointed out some things we didn't even know, which means that there's more research to go away and do personally, which is always good fun. So just in case anybody hasn't got a clue where to find you, where can they stalk you online after the podcast?
They can talk to me on Twitter on Chris_Mellor.
Excellent. And Martin, just in case anybody doesn't know where you are.
Oh, they can find me on Twitter as StorageBod. Easy enough to find me. Of course, we ought to mention the other place you really find Chris is on the Register.
And how could anybody not know that Chris was writing at the Register? That's a bit surprising. Okay, in case you want to catch up with any of us, you can find us all at storageunpacked.com. You can find me at Chris M. Evans. You can find us at Storage Unpacked on Twitter. And if you do a search for Storage Unpacked, you can even find us on LinkedIn too. Okay, thanks for joining us, guys, and catch up with everybody next time.